I'm going to take your Bible and turn to Matthew 6th chapter, 1st verse. Title of the message, "Lose Not Your Reward," 6:1, Matthew. "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost the alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that the alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite are. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Be thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, and they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all Thy blessings You give us in Christ Jesus and Your mercies that are everlasting, how You call us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light, and pray that You would open our understanding unto Thy Word, that we would be faithful followers of Thee, and that we might show and demonstrate Thy power within each one of us, and that we might be a good example of the believer. We just praise Thee and thank Thee, and ask Your mercies be upon those without Christ, that You be pleased to save, and those in Christ, that You be pleased to edify and strengthen. We thank Thee in Jesus Christ's name for His sake. Amen. Again, the title of the message, "Lose Not Thy Reward." This is the last message. I don't think I even announced that I was doing a series on good works, but this is the last one. And Jesus ended the previous section of the Sermon on the Mount this way: "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." The theme of our message is be in God's secret service. Things that we do that we not be do it to be seen of men. If we want to be seen of anybody, that we be seen of God. And we're not to draw attention to ourselves, as this mentioned in these. And let me say, there's some things you do. I mean, if you're helping somebody out, they know you're doing it. But we're not to be like the hypocrites, that we wait till there's a crowd around, and then we help them out, or whatever it might be, or then go bragging about all the things that we've done. We don't take God's good works and to God's honor and glory, not our honor and glory, but to His. We think about the theme of the chapter, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," verse 33. It is to be completely yielded and dependent upon God. Many saints think that the Christian life is supposed to be paradise on earth, and in considering this, many are not as careful as they ought to be and veer off course, and the narrow paradise road, I call it, and end up on the briarpatch road of delusion and misery. The problem too often is we don't know when we have veered off, when we've taken the wrong road, when we are leaving that sanctified road and walking the worldly road in unrighteousness. In our passage, we learn that the good works which God ordained for us to do. In verse 1, it opens with the first section, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, and to the be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." This passage assumes that the child of God will do good works. He's not saying if you do good works, when you do good works. And so it is assumed then that we do good works. The question left is, who gets the glory? Do you get the glory, or does the Lord get the glory? And sometimes we don't realize even what we're doing. I've seen the Christians do things, and I thought to myself, you just lost your eternal reward on that deal, you know. Went to a church one time, and every time you do something, they would say something about it and say, well, that's one point for me. And I think it was the second Sunday as I was there, I said, well, you didn't get your reward. And he said, and he looked at me, and I said, when you brag about it, I said, that's it. Whatever glory you get at that time, that's yours. And they stopped that practice then. The secret agent pleases God, not self. We're not out to make our lives a bed of roses in the sense that we're trying to get everything for self, and we leave God as if He is of non-importance. That God, sometimes, to some Christian, is just someone they pray to get something. It is not that they serve Him, that they're His servant, that they're to obey Him and honor Him. It's just like God should be just happy that we're serving Him. And let me say to you, that's not the case. If we serve Him in that likeness, then we're not really serving the Lord. We're just serving ourselves. And sometimes it's hard to do the things and to not to draw glory to self, and because it's the inclination of people to honor themselves. Now, that we want to be in favor with other people. We don't like other people thinking bad of us, and so we tend to want to brag about the good things we've done, and that others might honor us and glorify us, and that is a big problem. If you're trying to serve the Lord. People often deny the truth to receive praise from others. There in John 12, in the book of John, 12:42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, least they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, I realize these are the chief rulers. These were those that seen that Christ is the Christ by the Scriptures. Not that they had a revelation of the Holy Spirit, but they did know from the Scripture that this was the Messiah. But they didn't acknowledge Him because they was afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. And sometimes, to serve Christ, we have to be removed or from the position that we like, or we have to take a stand that will hinder us in the world. It's to honor God, and the reward and glory be greater, but on the earth here, you might suffer loss if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in better moments, we try to, if we're not careful, glorify ourselves. When somebody brags on what they done, then we want to brag on what we done. And we want to kind of say, well, I'm just as good as you are. I'm doing something here. You don't see me doing it, but I'm doing things here. And a lot of times we lose reward through foolishness like that. We might slip up sometime in the conversation and put a couple of brag points in. And don't seek the glory of ourselves. In the verse 2 that we read already, Matthew 6, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Every time I read that, I just can't even imagine it, that you'd have somebody blow a trumpet, draw attention here. Hey, I'm going to give this poor guy a quarter. I want everybody to see what I'm doing. And when they get a big enough crowd, either in the synagogue or on the street, then they give them some money and help them out. But if they met them any other time, they wouldn't give them anything. The secret agent must show God's piety. Much of Paul's writings include taking up the offering and for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And as we've already noted, if you believed in Jesus, you was kicked out of the synagogue. And sometimes we don't really think of what that really meant. If you was out of the synagogue, you didn't work.
Jews would not accept you.
And so you, if you was working for somebody, I don't care if you was digging ditches. You was thrown out of the temple, you was thrown out of your job. And so it cost to confess Jesus in their day. It wasn't as bad out in Galilee, for instance, as it would have been in Jerusalem. That's true. Because out in Galilee, the number of Gentiles that were there, that you could probably find another job. But if you was in Judah, you just would go hungry because you was kicked out of the temple. James and John gave Paul and Barnabas right hand of Christian fellowship, encouraged them. And Galatians 2:10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Now this is teaching Old Testament, New Testament, any kind of testament you want to look at, that we are to help those that are poor. If God's blessed us and we're able to, then we're to help those that that need our help at that time, and especially of the household of faith, which we'll look at in our own families. We're not to neglect our family to help somebody else. We're to help our family, our church family, and then if we have that which to do or have money that we can, our service or time, that we're to help out other people. There in the book of Galatians, there in 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so the priority among the saints is take care of saints. And then we have that which we can. We take care of the heathen, if you will. You say, well, I don't like those terms. Well, that's just the way what it's speaking about. We're to take those that believe in Jesus. We're to help them out first. We're not neglect them, that we help out other people. And usually, most of these campaigns and things are to be seen of men and not of God. We think about sometime a reward is a long time coming. There in 1 Timothy, and that's what the book of Galatians is speaking of also in 5:24. Some men's sin are open beforehand, going before to the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now, some rewards we're not going to get to until we get to glory. Sometimes somebody says, I've done this and I've done that, and God don't see where God's blessed me in it. And sometimes it's because they don't know how to look for the blessings of God. Other times it's that they're hid. That is, they'll be revealed in glory when you at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll receive your reward then, which will be the greater reward. So we think about some are rewarded now. Sometimes, as you do the deed, just the satisfaction of pleasing God is sufficient for our need, our help now, or our, if you will, our reward. And then Christ rewards us according to our work that we've done, according to His rules or His laws. Some things we cannot be hidden. Rewards that receive them, they know that you give it to them. And sometimes people honor those that help them. Other times, persons' help may not be because of unfavorable conditions that they don't want anybody to know that anybody's helping them. And often God's rewards us by giving back to us more than we gave to others. However, again, most rewards you'll receive in glory. I know there's the teaching, to give, and so on and so forth. And there's a truth in that to a degree, as it mentions there in 2 Corinthians. But it is not tit for tat. It's not that you give a dollar and God's going to give you $100 back, 100% increase, or 100 times, increased. And this is what many go out and promise. They take the scriptures, put them all together, and they come to this fantastic ideal, and then to get them started off, they say, well, give to us first. You know,
give us the money first and see how God blesses you in that. And then when people complain, they say, well, God's blessing you ways you don't even understand or can't perceive. And let me say to you, most of the time you can. The secret agent of God by faith, and we're to use the sword of the Spirit, and we're to honor God in that. We're blessing people when you preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether they want it or not, whether they like it or not, whether they want it, when they might turn their head and they see you coming. The best thing that you can do for anybody is that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all we can do is share the gospel, preach the word, that others might see Jesus Christ in us, and they might see that there's a difference. In James 2:14, starting there, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man said he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and fill, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith that has not works is dead, being alone. And sometime this occurs. We'll be praying for you, brother, on that. And we'll keep you in our prayers. We'll keep you in our thoughts. Today, you know, a lot of times they say, we have good thoughts toward you. And I don't know what that means. I've been trying to figure out what they mean by that. I know when somebody says they're going to pray for you, what that means. And I know if you say, well, you're on our hearts and mind, and we'll be lifting you up before the Lord, I know what that means. But to have good thought toward me, I don't know what that means. I know it comes from Hinduism, but I just put that in because sometimes you see Christians learn this. Instead of saying, I'll be praying for you, says, I have good thoughts to you. Now, your good thoughts cannot change anybody. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And if we neglect to honor God and our good thoughts, if you will, then they're just fall upon the ground just like the Hindus do. We need to be careful that we honor God in all that we do. We should give as the Holy Spirit leads us and stay away from the extremes. Sometimes we get so involved in the flesh that we just get swept away. And in my younger ministry, I've done that two or three times. And I thought, this is foolish and stupid what you're doing. I mean, if you make a pledge, you're to keep it because you're pledged before God, even if it's foolishness. And so that's the way I had to learn. You might be better off than I was. Some in their piety won't give a penny to help others, afraid that somebody might exalt them. Well, I would give to them, but I'm afraid I might get glory out of it. That sounds pious. Then others won't give a penny unless somebody's there at the band. You just see them do it. And so either extreme is wrong. We're to serve Christ, and as He has given us the ability, we are to help others, especially, again, in the household of faith. However, the child of God is to draw attention to our selflessness and yet not draw attention to ourselves. In Matthew 5:16, let's turn there. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now you say, preacher, that sounds the opposite of what you're preaching. No, it's not opposite. If you live a life that God's called you to live, there's not anybody that can help seeing Jesus in you. I mean, they're going to know something's different about you. May not know what it is, but they'll know something is different about you than all the others that they've been around. And so we're to let our light shine. We're to preach the gospel, share the gospel, that Jesus might shine through us, that we let it to be the primary goal of our life, that others might see Christ in us, and if you will, that we might bring honor and glory unto God by our lives. Now, it's not saying that we're not to, you know, that, you know, the left hand, right hand. I don't know if I'll get into that or not. There's so many different teachers on the teachings on the left hand and right hand. Not let the right hand see what you think the left hand's doing, or vice versa. The secret agent that pleases God will receive a heavenly reward. There is no reward from God for those that seek the glory from men. Simply not. In Matthew 6:2, they talk about blowing the trumpet. Verse 5, pray to be seen. Verse 16, fasting with sad countenance. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It is like saying, you know, why didn't you put your makeup on today? Well, I'm fasting. You know, I want everybody to know you're suffering through it. And you're doing this. And Jesus says, you have your reward right then. We're not to do those things to be seen of people. In Matthew, as we mentioned, if I do my alms, it's be sent of men, I have my reward. If I pray to be sent of man, I've had my reward. And does that mean God's not going to hear you? The question is, who'd you pray to? You think the long prayers, you said the heathen believed long praying, you know, would get God's attention. And it mentions how that they want to pray, you know, be sure they got a crowd before they pray, because they want everybody to hear how eloquent they are and how wonderful they are. And it'll have a reward. But I would say that the prayer doesn't get off the top of their head, as the old saying goes. It don't make it through the building because we're dishonoring God by doing such things. Does that mean that praying in public is wrong? I heard somebody say, well, shouldn't pray in public. But we see that Jesus did that. The apostles did that. The churches did that. And let me say, too, we are to pray for one another and in the church. And so it's not talking about that kind of praying. It's that when you get up and pray and say, well, I hope everybody's listening to me today. I think I'm really fit. I'm going to say a whopper, a real wing-dinger of a prayer this morning. And let me say, that's the end of it. We should be careful that we do it in to honor God, not to be seen or heard of men. Sometime we want to preach to somebody while we're praying. I don't know if that's prayer or not. I think it might be preaching. I don't know. I had my first preacher, pastor, did that to point out different things in the congregation, and I didn't know whether that was preaching or praying. Even as a kid, I didn't know which one it was. If I preach concerned with what people think of my preaching, that was early, we talked about the chief rulers, how they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. Rather than God, then I have my reward. Sometimes preachers have to take a stand they ought not stand. The church don't want it. Nobody wants to hear it, even though it's that which needs to be preached. And sometimes it's the same way in the pew. There's some things that need to be taken care of that everybody's going to be against. But if God's in it, then we must do it. The pre-announcement of results of some works. I often wonder about this. In Proverbs 25:27, it's not good to eat much honey. So for men to search out their own glory is not glory. I've had seen meetings, crusades, and seminars, and announcements, and pre-announcements, and how many people are going to be there, and how many people are going to be saved at the crusade, and how many are going to rededicate their life, and they just go on and on and on about what's going to happen. I used to get the literature in the mail of their expectation of what's going to happen. Now, if it didn't meet, it's because their faith partners didn't pray. But if they exceeded it, it was because they was on their top game. That they were doing the best that they've ever done. Some may be slightly more subtle, saying, we expect the Lord to do this and that, rather than us to do this and that, or our faith partners to do this and that. Some pronounce they are going to do something entirely by faith. I remember there was a man on the radio, and they decided that they, all this conniving and selling Bibles and all this, that, and the other. So they were just going on by faith. And it wasn't 2 months later, they was up there still selling their Bibles and doing all this, that, and the other. They found out that when they depended on God just by faith and not doing all those other things, they couldn't pay their bills. You say, well, what does that mean? That means God wasn't in it. That's what that meant. Whenever we slip like that, we lose our reward, if you will, when we want to tell others. And I talk about faith partners. I mean, there's all kinds of different names they give people that be praying for them. And they'll say, well, you really helped us this. And usually I see these prayer partners, they have a thing there where you can use your credit card or something else to send them money. You know, as part of the faith partners. And I always notice it. I mean, it's like the Republican Party. They send me things in the mail, and they want me to vote and all these other things. But at the end, they want me to send them money. And I thought, well, what's the difference between the two? I mean, they both want me to send them money. And one claims all the wonderful things they're going to do with it. And it might, some of them might be good organizations, but that's the opposite of how God tells us to do His work. And God will give you little in rewards if when we do not do it His way. Some things, when someone dies, we may be surprised to find out all the things that they did do. I was at such a funeral one time, people come up and tell me all the things my dad did, done this, that, and the other. I didn't even have a clue, and I lived in his house for 18 years, and so there's a lot of things that people do not to be seen of men. They just do them. And not only him, but a lot of others. It's happened similarly at a funeral or something. It seems like at a funeral where it's more likely to happen. And people say, yeah, so-and-so, brother, so-and-so, or so-and-so, he really helped us, this, that, and the other. And sometimes that may not even come to light then. It may just be in glory. Sometimes there's a fine line between giving glory to God and glory to self. Don't rob a fellow saint of their rewards by enticing them into self-glorification. I don't think we would do that purposely, but sometimes you say, well, you ought to let them know what you've done. Or, you know, maybe a wife or a husband or somebody knows, well, yeah, they ought to know what you did, this, that, and the other. And when it's let known, then you just lost your heavenly reward. And God does let things know, be known among His people, and that a lot of His people are rewarded here. The difference is who let it know. If it's you, then you lost your reward. If it's somebody else that God wanted you being magnified or exalted or whatever in a particular situation, then He will do it. And if He doesn't do it, then let me say it doesn't need to be done. Some may pronounce they're going to do something, as we mentioned a while ago, by entirely faith. In Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth, a stranger and not thy own lips. So if somebody else praises you, that's between them and God. But you're not to encourage them or pay them to do that. Sometimes there's a fine line, as we mentioned, between serving God and giving Him the glory, enticing others that they might, if you will, lose their reward. In Revelation 3:11, He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, how could anybody take your crown? You ever think about that in the book of Revelations and there in the church of Philadelphia? And this ends it, that no man take your crown? Does it mean there's a thief there? And while you're not looking, you're going to get the crown off your head? Why? We don't wear it here. It's not even seen here. I mean, we don't even see those crowns come into view until we get to glory. How could someone steal your crown? Well, one of the ways, and I know there's other ways, but one of them is self-glorification. Somebody enticed to run a campaign almost, it seems like, sometime, and really, they robbed their people's crown. Sometimes we've been faithful in church, and sometimes you find people have been faithful for years and years, and they quit being faithful for a time. I know a family that come back into church, and I had not known them when they left, but when they come back, and they always want prayer for the children and so on and so forth because they're so far away from the Lord. But when they was in church, you know, with the baseball, and they had these kind of things they need to do, you know, on Wednesday nights and Sundays, there's always something for them to do with their children, so on and so forth, and they go on and on and on, and do I believe those people say it? I absolutely do. But they had a lot of sorrow and regrets for the life they left. And let me say to you, some lose their crown just by not being faithful. By letting others influence what they know they should do. Sometimes men don't take their places in the home as they ought to. And don't lead their family as they should. Know that Jesus said about your rewards and don't substitute man's words for them. Some try to say that Jesus didn't really mean what he said, and I don't know of anything Jesus said he didn't mean. I mean, what would be the point of it? The secret agent in pleasing God keeps the secret even from self. Let not your left hand know what thy right hand doeth. I thought about skipping this a little bit, but some refer to this as biting sarcasm. Don't let your close friends, companions know. Or when giving money to the poor box, don't let anyone see how much you're putting in the box. Jewish poor box was on the right hand as you went in the temple. And others say if you live in a place, if you was in a church where they passed the plate, you don't sneak it in. Put it in the envelope where nobody could see what you put in there. You know, and that's, and I don't know, the left hand really seen that as well as the right. So what is it talking about here? Well, it's not have it in your memory. Don't count it as important. Sometime maybe the Lord's blessed us with a lot of money. We give a lot of money to the church, and we think maybe somebody should give us some accolades, you know. But really and truly, what we need is to God be honored and glorified in that situation. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Somebody says, I don't even know what the good works God had me to do. He's ordained that you walk in them. Does that mean absolutely positively you'll walk in them? It's quite evident from the Scriptures that some don't. But there is that which says God has ordained for you to do. There's no person in the church of the living God. There's no believer in the world that God has not prepared for them or, if you will, ordained for them to walk in good works. If you're not doing good works, then you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. And good works can be a lot of different things. We're just covering alms and different things like that to see where we lose our reward. But there's many good works that people can do that we don't realize. Some people say, well, that person is kind, or that person is so thoughtful, and so on and so forth. And you think, well, I should have been that thoughtful. You know, we think afterward. And some people, that's the work that God's given them to do. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. And so we're co-laborers with Jesus Christ. We're co-laborers, if you will, before God. We're not to keep accounts of our good deeds. We're to rely on God's bookkeeping.
There in Malachi. Some might say, well, don't people believe people keep account? I can tell you absolutely some do. So, just in case you're wondering, you say, well, why would they do that? I don't know if they don't trust God or what it is. Malachi 3:16, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son and that serveth him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So what does God put in his book? Well, he puts in his book good works. What are some of these good works he puts in his book when the saints talked about him? Yeah, when saints just talk about the Lord. God takes note of it. When we see here, it says, they that fear God spake often to another, and the Lord hearkened. So when we talk about the Lord to one another, then it's put in the book. When we honor him in any way, shape, or form, it's put in his book. A book of remembrance. So in the day that he makes up his jewels, those things from that book are brought into remembrance. You say, well, God doesn't need that. The point of the scriptures is not that God needs it. We just don't need to know God is doing it. And he tells the kind of things he puts in his book. So then if we want to please God, then we see that through the scripture, not only Malachi, there's many other scriptures, but this is the one that speaks of God's bookkeeping, that he has it put in a book. We know that there's a book of deeds and so on and so forth. Malachi 3:17, God will spare the faithful servant openly, the prospering of the saints. David understood God's bookkeeping in Psalms 56:8. Thou tellest my wondering. Put thou my tears into thy bowl. Are they not in thy book? God knows everything about us. David said, these tears be put in the bottle, and I've heard many sermons about the tears in the bottle. But I centered in on the day, not the bottle, but the book. And that book is everlasting. The idea of that bottle is sometime in his life that was going to be taken care of. But this book is that which will be open at the end, and Jesus will give judgment. God knows our heart, though. In these manners, don't lose your reward, nor cause others to lose theirs. When we do something, God knows where our heart is. And sometimes we start out right, and we end up wrong. And let me say, we need to start out right and end wrong. Not wrong, but right, if you will. That we not lose a reward, and we're not doing it just to get. We're doing it to honor God. God honors those that honors him. Your reward may not come in this life. When God gives them to you, he'll give them to you openly. It's not secret. He'll bless you in ways that cannot be blessed in any other way. And we'll stand before Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the Bema Seat, and the books will be opened there too. It talks about the White Throne Judgment, but those things that God's recorded about us will be open that day, and we'll give an account. I think it's in the book of Matthew, you might correct me later, says that every idle word is recorded. Idle language. Well, we know one thing about idle language. Part of it is when we're not talking about the Lord. Idle language is that which my Sunday school teacher was said, when you take the cuss words and change them to more acceptable words. And some kids said something about something and used the
one of those terms that we see a lot of people use all the time, and so they will not say the cuss word. And she said, that's idle language. I thought about that a long time, and I believe it's so. I find with these slang words that the picture it puts in your mind is the word you didn't use. So I think it's worse than idle language, personally. We're not to blow our own trumpet. We're not to let the devil guard your pride. We're not to deprive others, if you will, because of our pride. And if you will, that the biggest thing sometimes I see is when Christians won't forgive one another. I don't understand that. I know that it displeases God, dishonors the church. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, and let no man take thy crown. When we live in a life of good works, you will have so many good works, you won't be able to count them anyway. God opens the door to let you through. Don't rob a fellow saint of their rewards by enticing them into self-glorification. You've done just as much as anybody else. I've mentioned this probably too many times, but I'm going to mention it one more time. I was at a hospital, there was one of our members, and there was a man in the other bed, and he said, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Okay." He said, "Now, in our church, they run a stewardship campaign, and whatever month that was, I can't remember what month it was. I think it's September, but I'm not sure. And if you give over $2,000, you get your name in the bulletin." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Now, do you think that's right? When I give $2,000, over $2,000 a year, but I don't get my name in the bulletin." And I just, I really couldn't hear. I just stood there, and I said, "Well, really, you know, we're to leave it in God's hand that, you know, if He wants us glorified, He'll glorify us." I said, "We're not to glorify ourselves." But he was really upset because he gave over $2,000 a year and did not get his name in the bulletin. And then, as the old saying goes, when $2,000 was a lot of money. So they was running this campaign. How many people only gave that $2,000 and maybe gave nothing else the rest of the year just to get their name in the bulletin? Now, if you're wondering, that's not God's way. We're to give secretly. We're to give to the Lord. We're to honor Him with our gifts and tithes and all that we do. We're to, you know, we're not to brag about it, blow a trumpet before we go to the box back there and say, "Look how much I'm putting in. Everybody got an eye here?" We're not to do that. We're not to say, "Well, I should get a better vote, because I put more money in the treasury than anybody else." And you say, "Well, I don't believe Christians do that." I've heard it. I don't know how many times as a pastor, when somebody thought they should have a bigger vote because they gave a large sum of money. And I thought to myself, what does that have to do with the service of the Lord? I mean, the widow's mite was more valuable than all the money that the rest of them was casting in because she gave her living. And let me say to you, we give like we're supposed to, God to honor according to His Word. I skipped a few scriptures on we're to give on what we have, not on what we have not. When somebody says give faith given, that usually means they want you to give what you have not. That's not faith given, that's foolishness. God doesn't require that. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:9, chapter 8, where it's mentioned. And we're to give according to how God's blessed us. We're not to pledge on money we hope to gain through something or another and say, "Well, God will bless you, pledge." You won't. And somebody said, "Well, pledge is not in the Bible." It is in the Bible. Paul went to collect from the Corinthians the pledge that they had pledged for the children at Jerusalem. I don't like pledges myself, but the point I'm making is
the point that Paul was making, you do not give what you don't have. And you give that of which God has blessed you with. And that's how we're to give.